This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
You're listening to the Bite Size Business Breakfast, everything that Richard and myself have been up to Thursday, May the 19th. That includes looking at what on earth is happening to international stock markets, down roughly 4% in the US and Asia following suit this morning. We've been speaking to Monty Safadine, the fastest talking stock expert in Dubai, also to the guys at Emirates NBD to try and get a handle on what's going on. Plus, looking locally, speaking of markets, at the upcoming Buruj IPO. Sama Lakhani from Global Capital Partners has been telling us all you need to know if you are considering to buy in about Buruj's prospects, and also what it means for expats, for retail investors particularly, looking at their pension portfolio. We've been looking at the staycation market as well on the back of punchy data from STR showing that Eid al-Fitr eclipsed pre-pandemic levels when it comes not only to occupancy of hotels but also to room rates, an average of 700 dirhams. We've been speaking to Philip Wooler about that, plus taking your property questions and putting them to the guys at Houser. Occupancy rates for the Eid we have just had, trumping pre-pandemic rates by some way. We are joined.
Did you just say that in the style of Yoda?
I can't do the rest of the interview in the style of Yoda. Stop making me laugh. Philip Wooler is the area director for the Middle East and Africa at the company behind the numbers, STR. Expert he is. Philip, good morning.
Good morning, Brandy.
So let's start with Dubai. 75% occupancy, nearly 20% higher than pre-pandemic. Do you know what? It's nothing to laugh about if you're the one checking in. Room rates 75% higher, an average of 700 dirhams. What's the story?
Well, we've had a pretty good run, haven't we? I think in the UAE, the Northern Emirates, and I would say particularly Dubai over the last, well, certainly after the over the last 8 months has been very, very strong. The figures are well documented for the expo period. I think we were 82% for 6 months in Dubai, with an average room rate of about $231, which is what, 850 dirhams. So a sensational 6 months, and that has really continued. The Ramadan period was strong as well, and yes, we can argue the Ramadan period is coming into the cooler months a little bit more, but Eid again very, very strong. It was interesting, we didn't really know whether there'd be a huge amount of outbound business, whether there'd be a lot of regional business, but Dubai and the Northern Emirates were very, very strong, as you say. Very good occupancies and a huge increase on last year.
So who's staying?
Well, it depends where you look. I mean, as always, Dubai has such an eclectic mix of Germany, Switzerland, France and Italy. Very, very big for the beach properties. And then India is always a very big market for Dubai, as we know. It looks like Saudi Arabia is not quite as strong as it has been in previous years. It normally jotters around about one or two, but it's I think it's dropped off a little bit this year. But certainly the European market's incredibly strong around the beach properties.
Is there a danger, and I'm going to say this very carefully, because as you've said, you've had a great run. If you're on the other side of the reception desk, if you're looking for a staycation here in Dubai, maybe not so cheery, is there a danger that we could see residents priced out of the staycation market?
I think the economic factors will start to adjust. We're now moving into the summer period. It will be interesting to see how room rates move. I think it's important to understand that Dubai is one of the biggest hotel markets in the world. And we've added, I think, around about 22,000 rooms over since the beginning of the COVID period. That's an awful lot of rooms to come into the market. So I would imagine over the summer, things will change a little bit. Room rates will soften. There will be opportunity for staycations. And then as we move through the summer into the winter periods again and the more corporate commercial period, well, we'll have to see how those room rates play out. But I do think that room rates generally, and we can look all across the world at the moment, have gone up quite considerably, not just here in Dubai, not just in this region, but all across all the regions, room rates are up around about 15 to 20%. So, yes, I think, like many things nowadays, costs and selling prices have moved up quite considerably.
How much is that 75% price spike on pre-pandemic Eid al-Fitr down to the fact that this Eid fell over, well, for some reason we're calling the spring break, the Easter holidays to others, and in slightly cooler temperatures?
I think that has a lot to do with it. Oh, I thought it was a little bit less, Brandy, than 75% spike in room rates. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's... I know the occupancy is around about 76%, but I thought it could have been a spike on 2021, but on 2019 levels, which is where we really sort of try to sort of benchmark, it's around about 20% up, I thought. But
I'll double-check my figures. Thank you for pointing that out. But either way, we're looking at 700 dirhams a room, and for a lot of people, that's punchy.
Yes, it is. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, all the way through the expo period, I think the average room rate was about 850. But yes, I mean, I think they will soften. They will soften through the summer period. Again, we're looking at an average. So we know the luxury hotels have done incredibly well. And you could probably argue they've pushed the averages up here in Dubai. They probably almost doubled the average room rate, in fairness. So there is still opportunity around in just off the coast in some of the other hotels, in some of the other submarkets.
What are you expecting to see then for this Eid? 30 seconds. This next Eid.
For this Eid. It will be strong. I mean, the destination is a very, very attractive destination, and we have more inter-regional travel as well. So, you know, we're still predicting a very, very strong period. The Emirates and Dubai get stronger and stronger. It's more and more source markets coming in. So, you know, we still see this continuing for some time to come.
Well, thanks for speaking to us this morning. Philip Wooler looks after STR, the company behind those numbers for the Middle East and Africa. He is the area director, talking to us about that uptick in both occupancy levels and price for the Eid that we have just seen, Eid al-Fitr.
This is the Bite-Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
Loads of messages coming in about investing at the moment. Thanks very much indeed. Should we or shouldn't we try and buy some shares in this petrochemicals company down the road in Abu Dhabi? What's the verdict so far?
Yeah, and I mean, look, we're not stock tipping, because that is a whole world of pain. And certainly the amount that Richard and I buy into stocks, none of us are going to retire because of something that we've said on the radio. But we are going to speak to a lot of experts over the next week. It opens to retail investors, I think, on the 23rd, so in a couple of days. And we will be explaining to those who are interested how you buy in. How do you go and find a broker, which is the question that I'm sort of weighing up this morning. How do you choose one? Because you don't want to end up paying massive fees, do you? You want to pay as low as possible. And you want someone with a good app so that you can be, you know, day trading while you're presenting the Business Breakfast. So that you've got access to what you've bought, basically. But I have got those in the industry, and will say that they are widely positive about it. Someone has said to me, good morning, the yield is going to be basically almost 6.5%, which is going to be useful. They've said, look, the yield is a good return, but the real return comes when the share price appreciates if you are patient. So those in the industry, they like it. To be fair, they also work for brokerages, but still. But we are going to be looking into it so that you can make your own mind up. Basically, we want to try and chat to the guys at Baruj, and we're going to be chatting to a lot in the industry just about the nuts and bolts, because I suspect that what stops a lot of people from investing here is not necessarily that the process is complicated, but it's just not knowing what the process is and not knowing where to start, which, let's be honest, puts a lot of us off doing a lot of things.
Looking at the share price of the last petrochemical kind of related company to come out of ADNOC, Fertiglobe. It's a fertilizer company, but you know, there are parallels there with Baruj. Not perfect parallels. IPO price, 2.55 dirhams. Closing share price today, 5.34 dirhams. You have doubled your money, more than doubled your money since October of last year. Doesn't mean you will on this. Past performance is no indication, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we've heard it all before. But certainly the punters like that stock that's come out of Abu Dhabi, in particular, Fertiglobe.
Yeah, look, and it's a chance to buy in to the growth of the country, and like all of these things. And Rich and I tend to be quite boring adults when it comes to a long-term play. Neither of us are day trading.
No, we're not.
You know, you're asking yourself, in 20, 30, 40 years' time, whatever your retirement sort of outlook is, do I think that this company will still be around doing X and Y? You know, with the Selleck IPO that we know is upcoming, you're asking yourself a basic question, aren't you? Do I think there will be more cars on the road and therefore sort of more opportunity for revenue coming out of Selleck? It's a population play. Do I think that the Dubai population is likely to grow over the next 25 years till I retire? Yes or no? I mean, we get so wrapped up in what shareholders' earnings say quarter to quarter, and you see prices you know, being punished, companies being punished for what they've done last quarter. But what you really should always be listening to, and what actually is the reason that the Target shares fell 25%, it wasn't just that their revenue halved for the last quarter. It was the gloomy worming, or wording. Not worming.
I like gloomy worming.
But about what was to come. Ditto Walmart. They're earnings, to be fair, were actually perfectly fine, but they basically said, hold on to your shopping trolleys, it's about to get rough.
So Brandy and I are not day trading, but the stock that is being day traded by a lot of punters here in the UAE at the moment is Twitter. And we know that because Monty Safadine of the trading platform IG tracks these numbers, and Twitter is very active at the moment among UAE registered investors. Yesterday, the stock was down another 4%. It's $36.85 right now. Elon has bid $54. So that is a massive discount to Elon's takeover price. But of course, there's a lot of speculation that A, he might pull out, and B, if he sticks with it, he may try and get some kind of discount. Here's Monty Safadine.
For volatility's point of view, obviously Twitter is much more popular because, you know, they're going in and out. They have the ability to short. They have the ability to go long. If we're talking investment, not necessarily and not yet. That's because if it was going to get bought out at 54.20 or whatever, there was a bit of a margin before. That margin's gotten bigger and the likelihood has dropped. I think Elon Musk, you know, he put 54.20 out there as a joke. He isn't laughing right now because that valuation, he's looking for any way to not pay that amount, because since then, the NASDAQ is down about, 15-20% since then. He's obviously expecting that he can get at a much better price, and he's going to come up with any excuse to try and avoid paying that price that he threw out there in the beginning.
I think we should probably play this by now, shouldn't we? We've had Sam El-Khani on Baruj. We've had Monty talking about Twitter. We've had us talking about all kinds of nonsense.
Dubai Eye 103.8 presents an array of independent expert opinions and does not advise one particular view. Always seek independent legal advice, which considers your own personal circumstances.
There we go. Keep our lawyers happy. Should we talk about inflation? Because the latest country to report blockbuster inflation was the UK. It was their turn yesterday. The numbers were staggering. 9%, was it, Brandy? UK inflation out yesterday, highest in on record by some measures.
Yeah, I mean, we were already at a four-decade high for UK inflation, but now we are again, if you like. It's a new four-decade high, rising to 9% for April. A huge amount of that is energy prices. It's the gas bill in the UK. It is people's electricity bills, because this is the consumer price index, the CPI, that we are looking at. It is what people are paying to heat their homes. It's what people are paying to put fuel in their cars.
Here's Khatija Haque, Chief Economist of Emirates NBD. We asked her, is there any end in sight?
UK inflation soared to a 40-year high of 9% in April from 7% in March. It was broadly in line with what the market had been looking for. On a month-on-month basis, prices rose 2.6%, and that was really on the back of higher energy costs. We did see quite sharp increases in food prices, transport costs, and also household services, but inflation did seem to be really broad-based last month. Pressures are likely to remain high. We're seeing supply delivery times getting longer because of the lockdowns in China last month. And in the UK, the energy regulator will probably raise the cap on prices again in October.
It's Khatija Haque talking about inflation in the United Kingdom. She mentioned China there. Goldman Sachs, over the past 24 hours, cutting its China GDP growth forecast, as Khatija mentioned there, because of lockdowns. They are reducing their forecast to 4% this year, well below the government's target of 5.5%. We asked Khatija, what might be the ripple effect of a slowing Chinese economy here in the UAE?
China's growth will slow this year, partly because the rebound in 2021 was very strong, but also because of the lockdowns in recent weeks, which have weighed on activity and consumption. The UAE is an open economy, and any slowdown in global growth will weigh on the domestic economy. One of the main channels is through the volume of global trade, which tends to decline as global growth slows. Given that the UAE is a trade hub, it is quite vulnerable to this kind of slowdown in global trade.
Khatija Haque of Emirates NBD, chief economist there.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Looking at one of the big piece of local investment news we've had this week, petrochemical company Borouge, the latest big UAE IPO with 10% of the company set to be listed on the ADX. What does that mean, particularly for retail investors? We are very pleased to be speaking to Samir Lakhani, who is the Managing Director of Global Capital Partners. Samir, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
How attractive is Borouge likely to be to investors, and why?
Similar to the other IPOs that have come out with an emphasis on dividend play, we don't have a valuation target announced yet. Speculation is that they're going to offer about 10% of their shares at about $2 billion, implying that the value of the company will be in the neighborhood of $20 billion with a guaranteed dividend of about $1.3 billion next year. So that means retail investors, if they get in at the offer price, would get a dividend yield of about 5 to 6%. So this is the overall emphasis of continuing to offer investors stable cash flow investment yields in an environment which is becoming increasingly turbulent.
How future-proof is Borouge, which is the question people ask whenever they look at a petrochemicals-related company as a long-term investment? You've got plastics in there, you've got petrochemicals, but you've also got a bit of sustainable packaging. If the world increasingly goes green, what does that mean for Borouge?
If you look at the balance sheet emphasis of what Borouge is doing and its parent shareholders, there is a continuing emphasis on going towards reinvestments into green energy. I think the previous IPOs that have come out have also emphasized that. So that's going to be part of a capital reinvestment program. For retail investors, though, you know, we're looking at it from a short and a medium-term perspective. The most enticing prospect, obviously, is this annuity-type yields. And for retail investors, you know, it's more like a fixed deposit almost, right? Where the current fixed deposit in banks, you're still going to get maybe 1%, 1.5%, even if the Fed continues to raise rates, you're not going to approach the 5%. Spectrum that these IPOs are offering.
That's an interesting point. Rich and I have been sort of speculating on the show about what needs to happen here for the market to become a longer-term investment play for the average expat, something that they include in their retirement portfolio, for example, alongside sort of, you know, ETFs from their home country. Where are we on that journey, Samir, and what needs to happen to move us further on it?
We're still very early into that play. The investor base in the stock markets is still relatively low compared to even in the real estate markets over here. But we're following the same trajectory in terms of more and more investors coming in. The historical track record of the capital markets in the UAE has been more oriented towards the more aggressive, opportunistic investor. It's only been more recently that you've had this emphasis on these cash flow dividend yield type plays. You know, the talk over the last 2 years, not only in Dubai but throughout the world, has been, you know, this Nasdaq takeoff, this crypto, and there's a market for that, to be sure, but that comes with the volatility associated with it. This more stable annuity oriented investment is a new phenomenon for the UAE capital markets, for the regional capital markets, and you can see that the government is now emphasizing that more. We can talk about how quickly it develops, but it's likely to develop at a much faster rate than the uptake in real estate took place.
Which is interesting. So are we likely to get into that passive
investing model, the buy it and forget it and assume that you'll be sort of compounding growth over the years? Or is it still just dividends?
Long-term wealth creation is about compounding, right? And amongst the carnage that we're seeing in the Western markets, what is ignored is the fact that the utility sector and the energy sector, which are not really considered to be attractive or historically attractive over the last few years, given the emphasis on technology, that this year, in the year to date, where NASDAQ is down 25%, crypto is down nearly 50%. The utility sector is up 7%. The energy sector index ETF in the world ETF index is up 15%. We're going back to first principles, and this has been the trajectory of the maturity of capital markets. This kind of short-term flip-oriented phenomenon, which prevailed in a zero interest rate environment, is now giving way. And I think you're going to see that kind of mindset being adopted in the UAE and the region pretty quickly. You're seeing it far more aggressively than we thought we would, given the uptake that we've seen, the interest that we've seen at the retail level already.
30 seconds, Sama. Let's assume that this IPO is going to be as oversubscribed as the others we've seen. What kind of percentage do you expect retailers to end up with, given the numbers we've been shown so far?
It's early to speculate on that, but most likely investors are going to get a small fraction. They're going to get maybe 4 or 5%, because institutional investors are jumping on this bandwagon. So retail investors will get a small percentage, as has been the case historically.
Sam Alakhani, thank you so much for your time this morning. Managing Director of Global Capital Partners, giving us his perspective on the upcoming IPO. And by upcoming, we mean it is a matter of days that it will go live for retail investors. 10% of the company, 3 billion shares being offered.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Size Business Breakfast.
Yeah, we are following that section there. The advice that we've got from Sarah Hiradin with one of her colleagues, Matt Gregory's picked up the baton. He's the CCO at Hauser, and he's here to answer your questions that are coming in property-wise. Matt, it's lovely to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Good morning, both.
Let's kick off having a look at where we are trend-wise. Sarah touched on it, but I want to know a little bit more about where people are buying at the moment. The people who have made their money selling an older villa at the peak, these three-bedroom villas that Sarah said are still in demand, those who've sold, where are they buying now?
No, I think there's a number of key communities that are offering really good returns in terms of yield. If we look at those in sort of an overview of the areas that they actually are, right, we've got the likes of International City. Again, not everyone's taste, but actually brings back really good yield. We're looking at about 9.5% in terms of yield for value there. We then come down Rimram, again, massive yield if we look at the overall market. So people are looking at ways in which they can get into the market with multiple units, getting good return on their investment, whether it be for passive income, which it would be for these particular areas. If you're looking at capital return, while sitting in the green room, while Sarah was on, I've sent a couple of messages out to some owners of some real estate companies, and then you get a totally different view. These people are looking at the views, right? The question I ask them, if I had a million dirhams to invest, where would I invest it?
Okay, I'm just going to stop you there. Yeah. Can you see my screen? Because I've literally just got a text from someone. Here's the real world example of exactly what you're saying. And this is also the ultimate high class problem, by the way. I'm selling my property in December. I predict I will make around 900,000 dirhams. Advice on what to do next, please.
Well, the advice coming in for some people that own real estate companies is widely different, actually. Not one of them said the same thing. One person said, the Palm, great capital gain. The yield is around 6% at this moment in time, depending on the type of unit that you're likely to buy. Another person has said, buy a million dirham, one bed in the views. Put a little bit of money into doing it up. Again, great capital gain coming back, but also really good rental yield. So, you know, different things coming in from different people. Another one said, entry-level townhouse out in Mira, an opportunity to get something that isn't as close to the city, but you're getting the best part of three bedrooms whilst having that journey up and down Hesse Street. But, you know, it's people are happy to accept that if they're getting a townhouse with more room for a growing family. So real world examples from people that own real estate companies, again, not standard, but all different.
Is there something to be said? I'm just going to paraphrase this because the message is long. Is there something to be said for sitting the dance out for a while? If you are sitting on this cash because you've sold, waiting in the hope that prices will come down before you jump back in?
Look, I think that, you know, you guys mentioned catching the knife on the way down, right? I think a few times over the last, not only days, but weeks, I think we're seeing markets go down from a stock perspective. You know, crypto is on its, not knees at the moment, it's certainly down. I think, Brandy, you were talking yesterday about when you bought and where it is now. You know, you could argue the same about property, but property is a bit more stable. When stock market's down, people want tangible asset. Property is a good opportunity to get into. You know, you can pick up a one bed in Discovery Gardens for 300,000 dirhams. That is offering a yield of 8.5%. You know, you could get into that. Now, your capital gain is not going to be huge because you're not going to make too much money over, say, the next 2 to 3, say 5 years. However, the passive income that that's going to generate for you could be something that actually you can put your money in, make that money. It's going to be stable. You're on the metro. You know, there is an opportunity whereby putting the money into that, you could buy 3 units for your million dirhams if you had it. And that way, you know, you've got yourself still on the property market. But look, people have all different views. Money is still cheap. We spoke about it 2 weeks ago when the Fed increased their rates. You know, the opportunity here is that money is still cheap. People are sitting on cash as they're selling. So, you know, there's no right or wrong answer here. If you feel that actually you want to invest something in with good capital returns, the Palm seems a good investment. If you're looking for something with that passive income that you just want to put in and have stable returns, then clearly the other areas that I've mentioned are also key.
What if you're not buying for yield? What if you're buying for long-term capital gain and somewhere to live?
So, you know, the standard communities that we know that clearly people are still looking at. A friend of mine bought in the Lakes, put a couple of hundred K into it, and there's now, you know, the opportunity now that he's got is it's gone up by 500,000. So there is still chance to buy in good established communities. I live in the Springs. You know, we may look to buy in the future. Would I buy now? Absolutely. Because it's a community that is close to where we are now. You know, it's a central community. As urban sprawl happens, as we have to get more units in order to get people in for the 2040 plan, you know, doubling the population, you just don't have enough. So the centre of the city becomes further out, right? Mm-hmm. The opportunity there is that the Springs and the local communities to where we are in Media City here just go up in value.
1 minute left with you, Matt. Has there been any kind of post-expo effect on all of this? There was a lot of talk about what expo would mean for property now that we are finished with expo. Where are we, and has there been any change in terms of what's coming to the market or moving out?
I think post-expo is, you know, it seems like a long time ago it finished, but it was only a couple of months, right? But I think that, you know, I'd have to speak to some people and come back on in a fortnight's time to really give you that clear view on what post-expo means to the property market, because we've had it clouded, right? We've had lots of Russian investors coming in, which again has meant that it sort of suppressed that post-expo boom or bust that we may or may not have seen. The market is still very much moving forward. There is still not enough supply. Prices are still, you know, stable, if not still going up. So I think the opportunity here is, let me have a focus on it. Let me ask a few more people, more expert than I am. And then in a fortnight's time, you know, we can have that discussion on the post-expo boom bust and where it might sit if we didn't have all these other investors coming in due to what's going on elsewhere globally.
Yeah, hard to separate them out. 2 weeks then, speak to you, Matt Gregory, CCO of Hauser.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.